Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What do we need to know? What do we need to know?
What you need to know today is, oh, and by the way, what you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. And what you need to know today is the much anticipated people mover at LAX is one step closer
no.
to completion.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, they unveiled their first train car today. I don't know if you saw it, but they unveiled it, had a big ceremony, you know, to show off the progress and everything. And I guess the people mover is going to connect LAX terminals to the parking lots, the rental car center, and the new metro station.
Oh,
thank God.
Yeah, exactly. Each train is going to carry a total of 200 people plus their luggage, and the people mover will stop every 2 minutes at each station for a 10-minute trip from end to end. The people mover is right now scheduled to open in the fall, and supposedly it's on track to open then. So that's what you need to know today.
Nice.
Wow.
Do they have VIP?
You
they probably should.
That is such, have, like, that is so section. Bougie to ask that right now.
Just checking.
Like, that's his first question. Can I cut the line?
200 people.
Sus, bro.
Can 200 I get people. Come on now.
Can
that's
I get
scary.
Some special treatment
wait
over
a minute.
Here?
But DeMarco, the VIP is the people that don't have to wait in any lines.
That's right.
And they get, like, the back lot transportation yeah. at the airport. You get, like, your own car that drives you right up to the
let me tell you what VIP. Let me tell you what the VIP travel is.
Yeah, what?
It's called Burbank Airport.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's VIP
it's
travel?
It's called Avoid LAX
so
and
easy.
Go to Burbank.
So easy.
Or Long Beach.
That's, I like LAX.
That's so much better.
That's
ooh,
key.
Ooh, Linz, that is big news,
that
actually.
That is key big time. Yeah. We got canceled in United, and we had to walk over to American.
Yeah.
And my feet were just dead.
Yeah, that's like me. I try to park in the middle. You park on site because I'm always late.
Yeah,
getting to the
exactly.
airport. So I park in the middle, and all those parking lots are always under construction now. So I have to park like four parking lots away from my terminal, and I'm like schlepping my bag because you know I'm not going to check anything in nowadays.
Right,
I'm going to carry on everything.
Same.
Don't check anything, and I'm like, by the time I get to my flight, I'm like sweating.
Dripping wet.
And then as soon as you walk back, you're like, oh. I
right.
just walked the whole airport.
Yep.
You just lost 20 pounds.
Yeah.
You want to know a good VIP tip, though?
What's that?
You get the Uber Black.
Yes.
They'll pick you up and drop you off right there in the terminal, and you don't have to worry about going to, like, the LA exit to get
that's
a cab
good.
Ride.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get the Uber Black.
That's
good.
Hookup.
That's worth
yep.
it.
Absolutely.
That's worth it. One time I landed, and there was these people who were on my flight. I was coming from Orlando. We had weather delays. And there were people who were connecting from my flight home on Orlando, and they were going to try to make their connecting flight to China.
Wow.
And we were so delayed that they had probably like a 4-hour gap in between their flights, but we were so delayed they were almost going to miss their flight. And I was trying to be Good Samaritan, and I said, listen, you're never going to make it if I don't show you where you need to go, because they had to go all the way to the Bradley International Terminal.
Yeah.
It
right.
was not the normal
into
American
the
terminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll show you how to get there. I'll take you.
Aww.
So we like
look
walked through,
yeah.
we like walked through like every back alley, you know how they
yeah,
have
yeah.
the different corridors.
Because
once you go through security, once you leave security, you'll have to go all the way back through. I'm
yep.
like, if you go out, you will never get back in. You're
yep.
going to be in that security line, customs line. So I walked them through like everything. And I just was thinking about it. Like, what they must be thinking about how dysfunctional this airport is that we had to go through, like, I mean, I was like, we were going
wow.
down like hallways that were like closets, and I'm like, this is actually the way you're supposed to go.
And they trusted you.
Yeah, I know. I could have been like,
right.
at one point I could have been like, oh, whoops, my bad.
Right.
No, that you were supposed to go. Oh, I'm sorry.
I ain't walking in the closet with
they
anybody.
Made their flight though. They made
good.
It.
That's yeah. awesome.
That was
wow.
a big one. Hey, guess what? You know how you get on the air? And this is like major VIP treatment, okay?
Do you know how you get on the air?
Yeah, so you call in
yeah.
and Michael Funches takes your call and you tell him what you want to say about Vin.
Oh.
And then you sit on hold for a little while. And if I don't take your call, if I don't pick from the
yeah.
caller board,
you
have a friend of a friend, okay? So my friend Jody Borenstein, who I played travel softball with, texted me saying, hey, my friend Lauren from Northridge is on
wow.
hold to speak with you about Vin.
Wow, that is VIP stuff.
That's pretty VIP. So Lauren, this
yeah.
better be good. What's up? You're on with Ramona and DeMarco.
Well, you are my favorite, Ramona,
oh,
and I
thanks.
Have to say I'd only sit on hold for you.
Thank you.
But I was in San Francisco years ago, and it was before the game, and I was talking to Vinny, and the ushers kept telling me I had to move. and they wouldn't let me talk to him. And he kept saying, no, you know, let her stay. And they wouldn't listen to him. So finally he said, no, she flew all the way from L.A. She's a fan, you know, and I'll talk to her. And when they wouldn't let me, he told me to come up to the broadcasting booth.
What?
And to sit with him and to talk to him up there.
You got to sit with Vin in the game, in the broadcast booth?
Not the whole game, but in the beginning of the game, yes.
Did you know him before? Like, this
no.
is just,
no.
just met him?
I mean, I'd met him one other time, but he wouldn't know that, and I didn't bring it up. It was just, he's just the nicest human being.
Wow.
And that's because cool. the ushers didn't let me stand and talk to him, he wanted me to come up there.
Wow.
Awesome. Thanks, Lauren.
That's like going up to see the pilot on a plane, you know? That's cool. Wow.
Hey, Kiko in Oxnard, you're on with DeMarco and Ramona.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, bud.
You know, so I'm from the Bay Area, and I've been doing work down here in L.A. since the 80s, just back and forth in different companies. And one thing I'll say is that above and beyond sports, the thing that Vin Scully was, at least to me, coming down here to Southern California, is the comfort level or the safety level of Southern California. And what I mean by that is, you know, let's take 9/11 or let's take the riots that happened. Mm-hmm. You know, things that you're not at home, you come down to Southern California, you're doing work, and you feel on edge because, you know, something like that happened. Or your restaurants used to go back in the 80s, closed in the 90s, and you're just missing the comfort level. You could turn on a Dodger game mm-hmm. and you hear Vin Scully, and somehow, some way, it makes you feel like everything's okay. You know, L.A.'s okay. L.A. is still L.A. The Dodgers are still around. And it's all just hearing Vin Scully's voice. You know, I don't know if that makes sense to you or not.
I hear you.
Totally.
You
know,
it was that level of, you know what, everything's good. Although life is changing and, you know, nothing's ever going to stay the same, there is that constant that makes you feel like, you know what, things are good. Vin Scully's on. Life's okay.
Kiko, stay on the line and listen to this call when Vin Scully announced that John Wooden had passed away.
I interrupt the ball game and I come to you with a heavy heart, make the announcement that at 6:45 p.m. tonight, Coach John Wooden passed away at Ronald Reagan UCLA Hospital. The great coach at UCLA was 99 years old, would have been 100 in October. Those of us who knew him and knew him well are the ones who were blessed by his life. And as usual, when it gets down to it, Shakespeare said it best. His life was gentle and the elements so mixed in him that nature might stand up and say to all the world, this was a man. And you know, John was a big baseball fan, so I know he does not want you to be down. He wants you to get back to the ball game. That's exactly what we'll do in his honor.
I mean, he just goes back and forth with this incredible story and then quotes Shakespeare and then says, John would not want you to be down. He'd want you to, so that's what we'll do.
Get back to the game.
I mean, Kiko, what do you think?
I think it's also the humility that, that he had. It's funny you guys are mentioning that when he would call somebody or talk to somebody, he'd say, hi, this is Vin Scully. Like, he had to introduce himself, but that was the humility and the professionalism that he had that you don't find anymore. Such that, you know, if you meet D-Far and you don't say, hey, D-Far, but you come up and say, hi, Mr. Far, how are you doing? You know, that level of respectability is, I think, isn't around anymore. And I think that's what people miss, too, that he was very humble. You know, he probably never thought he was that good of a broadcaster. He was probably thinking, boy, you know, that Barber and those other guys that I grew up with were so much better than me. And that's what you love about somebody when they just have that kind of professional humility that, you know, they don't see themselves as that level. And he never did.
Thanks, Kiko. You know, what's amazing about Vin is like when we would meet him, like everybody, we all have this, he's on the pedestal and we don't want him to, we don't want to hear anything different about it. But he also has the ability to, he knew exactly how it would sound when he did certain things, right? Like he knew when he read Jim Tracy's lips, right? And he's saying, oh, the fertilizer, the bleep. And he was like funny this way.
Yeah.
He also, are we ready to laugh? Are we ready for some funny spins? Okay. I'm just going to read this. Because I know what's coming.
Oh, boy.
All right. I'll give you the choice.
Okay.
Do you want the Vin Scully crack pipe story or the Vin Scully rattlesnake story?
I got to have crack pipe.
Here we go.
And here comes Torrey Hunter. Torrey Hunter will be the first to tell you He had a very tough childhood growing up. His mom was an elementary school teacher, and his father was a railroad worker. His name was Theotis. However, Theotis became a crack addict. In fact, his father disappeared for quite a while. Torrey takes ball one, and he disappeared with Torrey's favorite jacket. And then one day, Torrey got up in the morning, and his dad was asleep on the couch, and there was the jacket on the back of a chair. So he put the jacket on. He was so thrilled, and he went to school. And he wanted to answer a question and raised his right hand, shaking it. And falling out of the jacket was, what do you call it, a crack pipe? I guess that's what you'd call it. That's the first time he realized his father. Well, you get the idea. Torrey, with all of that, is just the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. The 1-1 pitch, and that's in for a strike, 1-2. Yeah, they're all gifted physically, but so many of them come from the back of beyond one way or another. And for Torrey, his dad in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. The 1-2 pitch, see you later, in for strike three. Down goes Hunter. That would be the third strikeout for Dan Haran. And at the end of 2.5 innings, a 1-1 tie.
I mean, that is amazing to tell that story. And not do it in a trite way, okay? So there's so much in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but also go ball one, yeah. Right? And then here comes
one.
The music, and we're going to break. I mean, we have to do this all the time in radio, where we're telling really deep, emotional, heartfelt stories, and then I got to do the Valvoline read, right? Like we're talking about an incredible man, and then I got to do the and then I got to do the ZipRecruiter. You know, like, yeah. This is what, to transition so effortlessly that way.
Yeah, I've
and
never
keep
heard
crack
pipe so eloquently.
I mean,
crack pipe.
What do you call it? But then even the way he describes it is, you know, they're all gifted athletically, but some people come from the back of beyond.
The back of beyond. Wow.
How poetic is that?
That's crazy.
How poetic is that?
Wow. Now I want to hear the rattlesnake.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do the rattlesnake. This it's better than anything. Oh, coming up, you want to make them wait for it? Okay, it's worth waiting for.
Oh, Lord.
Ramona Shelburne, DeMarco Farr, ESPN LA. When we come back, Vin Scully tells about Madison Bumgarner and the rattlesnake story.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This is what I think it is?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You can do it. I know, DeMarco, you can do the Macarena.
Heck yeah, come on now. Hey,
this song came out.
Yes, sir. When?
This is the anniversary of it.
What day?
I love this August 3rd. On this day. In 1996.
Wow. Heck yeah.
Can you still do it? Raise your hand if you can still do the
right
mic. Oh, we're on radio.
Poncho.
People can't see us raising our hand. Laura
Come
can
on.
Do it. You put your right arm out.
Yeah.
And then you put your arm on your shoulder.
And you got to turn them over.
And then
first.
You put them on. Yeah, you turn
yeah.
them older.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you put them on your hips, and then you kind of like shake your
Wiggle.
Hips and stuff, right?
There you go. I want to see Laura do it.
Hey, Macarena. 1996. Where were you?
No. 96? St. Louis.
St. Louis. You were already somebody.
Yep. First time I heard this was in Florida, though. Yeah.
I was...
hammered.
Junior in high school.
Yeah.
This is totally my era. Laura, where were you? 1996.
I was,
she was two.
No, I wasn't two. I was like 6 years old, I think.
Oh,
no,
yeah, you would have been.
I wasn't not two,
six,
I was
eight,
six.
Eight
oh, old. You were probably so cute doing this.
Little baby.
Oh, a little chunky ass.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were probably cute, though.
Thank you.
This is like every bar mitzvah or
every party.
Every party.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody was doing the Macarena.
Everybody was doing it. Funch, no? Not you?
No, no.
No?
I mean,
no hips?
No.
Come on, no.
Lindsay?
I couldn't. Don't remember how to do it.
Lens, where were you in 1996?
Let's see. I don't know. I was in middle school, elementary school.
Did you do the Macarena? Can you still do it?
Duh. I mean, come on. Let's
there
be
you
serious.
Go.
It's at like every wedding still to this day.
Yeah, still Macarena, to this day.
I just did it last week when I was on vacation. We went to a Hoot Nanny.
Oh.
And they did the Macarena at the Hoot Nanny.
Nice.
What kind of Hoot Nanny?
You know, it's just like we went camping. And so every like Thursday, I guess, that at the park, they have like a big old folk concert for kids. And so we always go every year because we've been going since we were little kids. I take my nephew and all our friends' kids. And my nephew, he's 10 and he knows how to do the Macarena. My friend's kid is 3 and he knows how to do it. So obviously they're still teaching the kids the Macarena somewhere, right?
Cleveland.
Absolutely.
Apparently.
Okay. Funchy and I have a question.
Go ahead.
Go, Funch.
What's a Hoot Nanny?
Like I said, it's a folk concert. And it's not in Cleveland. It was up in a state park up in Allegheny, New York.
Okay.
You guys sing like Puff the Magic Dragon or something?
No.
They play like country songs and kids songs. It's like a folk concert for kids.
So uncultured. Let me see if this is a real Hoot Nanny, okay? So I have relatives that live out in a place called Young, Arizona.
Okay.
And when you get to Young, Arizona is you go to Phoenix and you drive about 60 miles east out into the desert. And then you go about 30 miles up a dirt road out behind the reservoir out there. And it's like a windy dirt road up into the mountains. And then you end up in this town called Young, Arizona. There's not even a stoplight there.
Really?
I don't even think there's a stop sign. And people just live up. It's like kind of like national parkland. It's sort of, and people go, where's it near? I'm like,
Nothing.
Not near anything.
New Mexico.
Not near anything. And so when we called her my Aunt Patsy, but she wasn't really my aunt. It was like a great aunt.
Yeah.
Couple. And so when she turned 80, we had all the family came in and we had a hoot nanny. I think this is a hoot nanny, Linz, okay? And it was just like everybody came in from all over the place. There's not even enough. There's like two hotels. There's one hotel that's like, you don't want to stay at that hotel. And then there's one that's sort of like a kind of converted to an Airbnb, but it's not really an Airbnb. You wouldn't call it that. Okay. And we got in there early because the hotel that you would stay at was like, sketchy there.
Yeah.
It was, so we all stayed there and everybody else just stayed on somebody's couch. Like if you didn't get in there, you slept in your RV, you slept on somebody's couch. And she had a party and it was like everything was just country music and beer out of red Solo cups. Is that a Hoot Nanny? That's a Hoot Nanny, right?
No, I mean, it's more of like a guided, like there's a band there where there's like a host in there.
Oh, like a real host. So ours is just like.
Yeah, and they're playing songs and they're taking requests and then they're doing there's like live, it's like live music, guitar, stuff like that.
So somebody with a real guitar and a real band.
Yeah, it's like a sing-along, I guess, for kids.
What's the nanny part? I get the hootin'.
It's one word, Hoot Nanny.
Hoot Nanny. It's one word?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was two.
I thought it was two words, too.
Nope,
thank you, Laura. Okay,
word.
Hoot Nanny. Oh, didn't know that. Okay.
Well, on that note.
I feel so much cultured now.
See?
Yeah.
Big time.
Wait,
there
on that note. On that note, we got to do the rattlesnake story.
Yeah.
You know, Bumgarner tells a story which, in a sense, reminds you of what it takes to be a big league ball player. It's 2 years ago in spring training, and he and his wife were roping cattle, which is what they do.
He and his
one
wife.
One pit. Wow. Sinker low, ball two, 2-1. And they were startled by a large snake. And Madison thought it was a rattlesnake, so he grabbed an axe and he hacked the snake to pieces. But there's something more to the story. 2-1 pitch. Low, ball 3-1.
Ow.
When his wife Allie and an expert field dresser examined what was left of the snake, she found 2 baby jackrabbits inside pieces of the snake and extracted them. 3-1 pitch to Turner, way inside, ball 4. And after she extracted them, a short while later, the Bumgarners noticed that one of the rabbits had moved slightly. It was alive. Well, his wife brought the rabbit back to their apartment. For the next few days, they kept it warm, bottle nursed it, and the rabbit soon was healthy enough that they released it into the wild. And Madison said, just think about how tough that rabbit was. First it gets eaten by a snake, then the snake gets chopped to pieces, then it gets picked up by people and lives. It's all true. Meanwhile, line drive base hit to center by Hendrick, and the Dodgers are in business, first and second and nobody out. So I guess really the morale to the whole story about the rabbit and the snake, you've got to somehow survive. You've got to somehow battle back. A lesson well taught for all of us.
And he paid it off. Wow.
And he paid it off.
He paid it off.
Like, he didn't just tell the story. He said, and so, well, he says the moral of the story for all of us is you got to somehow survive.
Wow. Wow.
I mean,
you can teach a class on him.
Where did he first of all, where did he find out that story? Like, it's not like Madison Bumgarner was just sitting around. I didn't read that story anywhere.
No.
Usually
sure
some local paper has a story like that, or he told that story to somebody.
Yeah.
I always wondered where Vin got all his stories from.
Packed up a snake and found two rabbits. One alive. Wow.
And they bottle nursed it.
3-1 pitch.
It's unbelievable.
Wow. Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Hey, Nate and Covina, you're on with DeMarco and Ramona. How you doing, Nate?
Nate Dogg, you there?
Nate, don't make the 626 look wrong, man.
Uh-oh.
Better pick that phone up.
He's been on hold for a long time.
Wow.
And he said he was from the Bay, so.
Oh, no way. Okay.
Nate, are you there?
Bye-bye, Nate.
Call back,
see
Nate.
See if he calls back.
Call back, Nate. Wow. Unreal.
No, sorry. He held on for a long time, and I always like to try to get to people who hold
He'll
on for
back.
A long time. He'll call back.
He'll call
he probably
back.
Fell asleep there. Probably was like,
"We're getting the Starbucks."
He put the radio on mute.
Could
like
be
supposed
yeah.
to. And
I
like,
just
I lost faith. I mean, this is Ramona Shelburne and DeMarco Farr in for Sedano and Cab. We're talking about the late great Vin Scully, passed away yesterday at the age of 94. 94.
What a life.
And I'm at that stage now where. I cried last night. I'll cry again when I think about it. I'm wearing my Vin shirt, but I mostly just want to remember all of the amazing things that Vin Scully did for all of us. And I think it's sometimes it's just best to hear him say it himself. This is his final sign off at the end of his last broadcast.
You know, friends, so many people have wished me congratulations on a 67-year career in baseball, and they've wished me a wonderful retirement with my family. And now, all I can do is tell you what I wish for you. May God give you for every storm a rainbow, for every tear a smile, for every care a promise, and a blessing in each trial. For every problem life seems, a faithful friend to share. For every sigh, a sweet song and an answer for each prayer. You and I have been friends for a long time, but I know in my heart that I've always needed you more than you've ever needed me. And I'll miss our time together more than I can say. But you know what? There will be a new day and eventually a new year. And when the upcoming winter gives way to spring, oh, rest assured, once again, it will be time for Dodger baseball. So this is Vin Scully wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be.
Let that breathe.
Wow.
I mean, that's what Vin did. He would just let it breathe. Right? He didn't, I don't think he wrote that out, do you?
No.
That's just off the top of his head, poetic.
That's how he felt. Yeah.
Incredible, genuine. He's had a long time. He had a long time to think about how he was going to sign off in his final game. Perfect.
You're going to have people crying, man.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
they are.
I'm sure. Wow.
Ramona Shelburne, DeMarco Farr in for Sedano and Cap. This is ESPN LA. When we come back, Lindsay, Radio Tinder. This is segment of the year.
Thanks, Chris. Super excited to be doing Radio Tinder, as always. Even though DeMarco always makes funny faces when I talk like this.
I'm actually laughing, too.
I'm doing it right now.
It's the best part of everybody's day, as Ramona said. Segment of the year, right?
Segment of the year.
Wow.
Well, yesterday on said segment of the year Radio Tinder, we talked about how Prime Video officially announced a remake of the 1989 cult classic Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal in the starring role. Well, the reaction to the news of a remake was far from unanimously positive, with Cappy and even Dr. Clapper saying that remaking the Patrick Swayze hit was unnecessary. Well, to make the Roadhouse reboot even weirder, we found out today that former UFC champion Conor McGregor is set to make his acting debut in the film. While it's unclear who McGregor is going to be playing, reports indicate that he's going to play an original character and not himself. So is casting Conor McGregor in the Roadhouse reboot a good idea? Swipe left or swipe right, Ramona?
I'm going to swipe right. I like it. I was waiting for Conor to make his move into acting. It felt like this was coming for a while. What was the movie Ronda Rousey was in? She was in
Ferrara.
She was in She was in something like that, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, is he going to play himself? Is he going to play another character? There's a difference. Because when you're a fighter, and most of the time the best move is just play yourself in the movie.
Yeah.
So he has to actually act, or is he going to play himself?
I'm assuming he's playing the heavy.
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze had
I think Conor's going to be good. Conor's great on the mic. Like, as they say in wrestling, like, you know, he doesn't need a mic person. He doesn't need somebody.
Doesn't need a manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can cut his own promo.
Yeah, he can do his own thing. So I think he, anybody who can get on the mic, if you've ever heard him at a press conference hyping his fights, if you ever heard him, especially with Floyd Mayweather, he can sell it.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's going to be a great actor, at least in these type of roles.
My favorite quote of his is, "You'll do nothing." I love that. You'll do nothing.
And it's all original. No one's writing for him.
No, not at all. Good stuff. I'm going to swipe right. I love it. He's going to play the heavy. I thought Ronda Rousey was supposed to do this role way back when, before she got KO'd a few times. She was supposed to do this. So
she was. I feel like she's also like not really like, I don't know, to me.
The aura's off. Yeah.
Yeah, she's not like, the shine has gone. Like, people really don't care that much about her anymore. Whereas Conor McGregor, I feel like there's still a big void there. Like, everyone's looking for, like, that jerk UFC guy that's going to talk a lot of smack.
Yeah, she can talk. And, yeah, or he can talk. Absolutely.
Yeah, people are going to love to see him. By the way, my favorite Conor McGregor quote is when he said, "Your wife is in my DMs." That was the best.
I love this guy.
That was the best.
Swipe right.
I would say that Ronda has really resurrected herself and image-wise in the WWE. I think this was a really good move for her. When she was still in that MMA space, that ran its course. Like, she lost a couple times, and she was kind of a bad loser, right? She didn't handle that as well.
Right.
Conor lost too, by the way. He lost to Khabib.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And
But he was always a better talker than she was. Yeah, yeah.
She was a good talker too. She just lost.
Not like that. Yeah.
No, she wasn't as good as
Conor.
She's not.
Yeah. I don't think she's a very good talker in WWE. Yeah.
Oh, she.
She's not as good in WWE.
Her promos aren't very good, but she is still scary. She is absolutely fearsome.
She's a great character, and she knows how to play the role. But Conor to me is more of a talker. He's kind of like a punk.
You know who Ronda's like?
Huh?
Brock Lesnar. He can't cut a promo either. But as soon as he walks out, you're like, oh boy, somebody's going down. Yeah.
Yeah. She's good. She's good though, and I also think Ronda has a fun second act now because she's a mom and she came back from that and like
she just got suspended. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. Well, I think it's part of the show, right?
Well, come on, come on, Elle.
But she's also like, she's out on the farm out there in Riverside and they're raising cows and chickens and stuff. She's good on social media and stuff too. All right, what else you got, Lindsay?
Again, your wifey's in my DMs. Hey, baby. That's what he said.
You have to fight on that one.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, so, Ramon, I know you especially will like this story because we've talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers and his life off the football field over the past, like, year or so.
Yep.
Between his relationships, his medical opinions, and, of course, his appearances on the Pat McAfee Show, a lot of fans have learned quite a bit about his personal life. And during an interview today, Aaron Rodgers discussed the impact that ayahuasca and psychedelics have had on his mental health, saying that they changed his life for the better and helped him reach the point that he's at now. So would you guys ever try psychedelics to help improve your mental health? Swipe left or swipe right. DeMarco, you go first.
Oh, swipe right. Too late. Way ahead of you. Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. Took that journey a few times. Came, face to face with me a few times doing that. Yeah, sure.
Was it life changing?
Yeah. It's odd, and I don't want to encourage that, you know, for kids or anybody listening, but when you can slow down everything in your life and just let go for a little while, you can actually see the road, your road, and where you are in that road. I see where he's coming from.
That is a swipe left for me. I'm scared. I had a bad experience with an edible once, and really bad. Seriously.
Oh, that's cute.
Really bad.
What happened?
Fainted a couple times.
Oh boy.
Yeah, had to go to the hospital. Oh, they were like, "No, dude, you just had a bad edible," and I was like, "Oh, it was so embarrassing." But I mean, you like think you're dying. Like you really think you're dying.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you like, really. I mean, it was obviously like something was off about this thing that I had, and it just kind of messed me up with doing anything.
Oh yeah.
Like, Lindsay,
it was pretty bad. I'm not gonna lie.
Lindsay, like, have you been on a vision quest before?
I've tried different. I've never done the ayahuasca journey, yeah. Which I want to do that. But I'm also like, I've done so much research on this over like 3 years.
Yeah.
I've done the DMT and like the ketamine therapy, which is like doctor medically supervised. But I haven't done the ayahuasca yet because I've just heard so many stories like both ways. And you need to really like find somebody who knows what they're doing and that's like legit. And I feel like it's become so like mainstream popular now that there's all these like shady like, oh, go on this ayahuasca retreat and bad things happen. So I'm trying to find like a legit situation because I definitely want to do that. Because like Mike Tyson, you know, I know he's had quite a few revelations during the journeys that he talked about.
Mushrooms,
Yeah, and he did the toad one.
Oh,
which
boy.
Is also, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I want to do the hot box.
What's that?
Will they sit in the hot room?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to do
that
one.
What is that called?
Yeah, yeah. I forgot what that's called, but I want to do that.
Yeah, that's also super dangerous, too, though. People
I mean, with
die
good
doing
people.
That.
With good people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's all fun and games until you get the bad
edible. Right,
until you pass out and die.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, guys.
Wow.
That's pretty scary.
That's really scary. I fainted twice. Like, it was really.
Wow.
Like, it was real. All right.
What else? Okay. So speaking of moving on, Chris Rock does not seem to be in a rush to be smoothing things over with Will Smith. After Smith issued his second public apology to Rock in a lengthy YouTube video on Friday, a lot of people wondered if Chris Rock was finally ready to bury the hatchet. Well, now, according to US Weekly today, they said that, quote, Chris has no immediate plans to have a one-on-one with Will and that he's moving forward. So do you guys think that Chris Rock should and will publicly address Will Smith's apology? Swipe left or swipe right, Momo?
I think he should and I think he will. But until then, it's good theater. It's kind of part of the tabloid cycle. For those of us who grew up reading the tabloids, Lindsay, this is a well-known pattern.
This is
a pattern. I mean, as soon as he says it's okay, then it's not a story anymore.
Right.
As soon as he said, "Oh, I forgive you," then it's not a story anymore. But the longer it's a story, the more we talk about both of them, the more relevant they both are. Yada yada yada. I mean, there's very few things in my life that you could be that upset about to not forgive somebody. This is not up there with something that you would not forgive somebody
for. You smacked me on the Academy Awards, man.
I know, but this isn't like, did he really get hurt? Did it hurt?
No, but it's embarrassing.
He said it hurt like hell. That's what he said during like a comedy show. He was like, not going to lie, that hurt like hell.
I mean,
Will Smith is kind of big. Yeah,
I know,
it's a big dude
like,
smacking a little guy.
I hear you, but to me, it's like, this isn't like you didn't cheat on your wife or something. You didn't kill anybody, you didn't hurt anybody. This is like, it was bad.
So
it was
unprofessional.
You should forgive him.
At some point, he
can. At some point, but it's, you know.
Yeah. I got to make him suffer a little bit. Yeah.
So did you guys watch the public apology video?
I did.
I didn't.
I've been off the grid.
Me too.
I was off the grid, like I said, camping.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't. I saw headlines about it. Yes, at the Hoot Nanny. And I saw, like, headlines about it. And I saw, like, he mentioned, like, Will Smith clarifies Jada Smith's role in the Chris Rock Oscar slap. So what exactly did he say in the video? And should I watch it?
It doesn't shed any new light on it. It's exactly what you think he would say.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to defend everything and defend his actions and apologize at the same time. He's trying to take heat off his wife. He's trying to say it's all my fault. I overreacted.
If you were Jada Smith's husband, would you be scared of her, DeMarco? Because I feel like
scared of her.
Yeah.
No.
No,
I feel like she seems like a very scary, like controlling human being. That's what it seems.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
she wears the pants in that relationship.
I would like. What am I swiping left or right to? What's the question again?
If you think that Chris Rock should and or will publicly address
then swipe
the
right. Absolutely, yeah. Like Momo said, I'd make you wait for it because once he does it, it's over. Remember that show, Moonlighting? As soon as they kissed, show was over.
Show was over, yeah.
Yeah, but it was like all that drama building up to it. But once they did, it's over. So if I'm Chris Rock, I'm going to milk that as long as I can.
Yeah.
But is anybody in this room mad at Chris Rock at all?
No.
For saying what he said?
No.
Really?
No, what did he say? Oh, the joke?
Yeah, the joke. The joke itself.
No one can seriously
be mad about that.
Really?
I thought what he said was bad, too. I understand why Will was mad. But I wouldn't have gone up at the stage and slapped him.
Not in public.
Yeah.
He's a comedian, and he's sitting front row at the Oscars. It's fair game.
Wait, comedians can't be
No,
like,
not about her
face?
Hair like that.
I think if he knew, then it's...
Talk about me.
I don't want to say the word, right? Like, but... A lot of people didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it's, if he knew, then dude, that was bleepery.
Yeah, but I think if he knew, he wouldn't have done the joke.
Exactly.
I think he's
fine.
But
there's too many people who are screening, who read his material. Like, you don't just go on stage at the Academy Awards and do a set. Like, people have approved that, what your jokes are going to say. People have read all that. Somebody should have flagged that.
But that's what I'm saying. So it's not on Chris Rock, because I'm with Funch. Like, if he would have known, I truly don't think he would have made that joke.
Like, he seems like a man of honor and stuff like that. He would never do a joke like that, you know?
And there's a, look.
Funch, you're married, right?
Of course I am.
You'd let a comedian talk about your wife?
I mean, I wouldn't let him do it, but I mean, if...
You wouldn't be hot?
I would not be hot if it was a certain thing about her that he didn't know that he said or whatever, you know?
What if you were in the audience at a comedy show and someone made a joke about your wife solely based on her appearance not knowing her?
Who are you asking?
Either of you guys. Like, if you're at a comedy show and they make a joke just based on first glance looking at your wife, would you get up there and slap the guy?
No, I wouldn't.
Depends on who it is.
Yeah. No,
I mean, yeah.
I might say something. No, look.
You wouldn't get up and say something, but you might say, take my wife's name out your mouth.
We've all been to comedy shows, right?
Yeah.
I've been, like, the last comedy show I was with, you know, back in the day, like, I was with my boyfriend, and the guy that we went to go see, we were in the front, and he took shot at both of us.
Yep.
And it's like, we laughed, because that's what we're there for.
Yeah, you know? It's fair game.
And like, for me, it's like, you know, my boyfriend's tall and skinny, and, like, I'm, you know, shorter and chunky. Like, you know, he was like, oh, you guys are a perfect 10, right? Like, my boyfriend
I got the same joke once.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, my boyfriend wasn't like, oh, da, da, da. He was like, yo, that wasn't cool. Like, he looked at, he's like, what the? Oh. Like, he knew what it was, but we weren't coming at the comedian.
He should have kept his
you know
jokes
what I mean?
To Will Smith. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, I don't think Chris Rock would have done that joke if he would have known. And a lot of things that people don't talk about, I'm sorry, I'm going on a rant.
It's all right.
No.
Is the fact, like, Will didn't react until Jada looked at him, and then he was like, I gotta do something.
Yeah. What was the other one?
And I think that's what people don't talk about.
Here's why Chris Rock has not accepted the apology.
Why?
We're still talking about it.
Of course.
He makes
money.
I'm
waiting for him to talk about it. Yeah.
I see why this was segment of the year. Ramona Shelburne, DeMarco Farr, Ian Frisitano, and Cap. Come up at 6 o'clock. Very special guest. Friend of mine, but also the one person I wanted to talk to today about the life and legacy of Vin Scully. Bill Plaschke from the LA Times knew Vin very well, probably the closest journalist that I know to Vin. Called him many times over the years, wrote a wonderful column in the LA Times. He's going to join us at 6 o'clock, and at 6:45, this is one of my personal favorites. You guys remember the organist at Dodger Stadium all those years? Nancy B.
Yeah.
Nancy B., friend of Vin Scully. She played every seventh inning stretch. She played the different songs that matched the teams that would play. She was Vin Scully's press box compatriot for many, many years. Nancy B. will join us at 6:45 tonight to remember the life and legacy of Vin Scully. When we come back, though, very serious conversation. Very serious. Martha Stewart is 81.
Wow.
And I have a story about Martha Stewart you have never heard before.
Yep.
Ramona Shelburne, DeMarco Farr, Ian Frisitano, Cap, ESPN LA. Yep.
Hey.
Well, I guess it's DJ Spinderella's birthday, 51 years old.
Wicked, wicked, wicked. Yes, sir.
I think we can do that one, too.
I think I still have the 45.
There we go.
Yeah.
I did not know that she got kicked out of the group.
They had that movie, and
dang,
yeah, she was not a big part of it.
Momo, DeMarco Farr, in for Sedano and Cap.
No part of it, DeMarco and Ramona.
No part of it. How do you not?
Dang.
That's wow.
Did they just not want to cut her in on the royalties?
I think it was that.
Probably.
It was just straight money?
Gotta be.
Probably.
Gosh, that's where you know where you stand with people,
especially
huh?
Especially when you've been working with someone for someone so long, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like... It's kind of like me and Mason in Ireland, right?
Yeah, right.
Mm. Like, I just kind of, I'm late to the party here. I do feel like kind of part of the show. Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. But when it comes to splitting the profits, I don't get any.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm just there when one of them can't show up.
It's kind of like when we bought, well, when Cappy bought the lotto ticket.
Yeah.
And he only wanted to cut in like the five people in the studio and leave Lindsay and Sedano out.
What?
What's wrong with that?
What, because they weren't here?
Yeah. Look at him. Were you part of the five?
Wait, what's wrong with that? Just saying.
Out of mind.
DeMarco's right. I bought a lottery ticket when I was up in the mountains, and if I won, I wasn't cutting Cappy in.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, yeah, but he did it as a show thing. You did it as an individual thing.
That's right.
So it's different.
But I wasn't there, so, you know.
I mean, I am always very aware that I'm, like, show adjacent, right?
Yeah, I love that you use that word. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm show adjacent. That's my thing. But you're here every day, Laura. Right, you're here every day, pretty much. Funch, you're here every day.
Yeah, I am.
You guys are like part of the show. Lindsay's the producer of the show.
Right.
DeMarco, they just call us when they want a vacation.
No doubt. Yeah.
I mean, like one of them misses a flight, you know.
Right.
Whatever.
I wouldn't expect the cut. No.
Yeah, I don't expect
the
cut.
Yeah.
In regards to Spinderella, I was like reading up on this.
Yeah.
And apparently, she's like in the middle of writing like this tell-all memoir.
Yeah.
And she's going to talk about what happened, but I think she sued Salt and Peppa for unpaid royalties and breach of contract and fraud and all kinds of stuff. So things are not good between them.
That's what happened. Like when you cut somebody out, they have dirt on you.
Oh yeah, you better be careful.
Yeah, you
no
gotta like whenever you have a little dispute, sometimes there's a reason why you pay someone to go away. Like you just say, okay, that's fine. I'll pay you your last paycheck. You know, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
Sign an NDA, please. Thank you very much.
I kind of see both sides a little bit. This might sound like blasphemy.
Well, they're like, I'm Salt. Yeah. You're Peppa. You're just the DJ. We can get another DJ.
If we're doing stuff on a backing track and you're not really doing anything but standing there and dancing, and I'm like sweat my butt off rapping.
Yeah, but she's
and I
got to
split
DJ.
It up three ways. What's that?
But she's a DJ. That's like, what's the song "Summertime" without DJ?
No, I got
Jeff,
you.
Right?
But if we're just performing and she's just playing a backing track and not doing anything,
I agree.
And I'm doing all
Look,
the work.
It's not going. Yeah. We're not splitting it 33% each.
Right. Right.
Like Salt
right.
Peppa can get 80% split that 40.
Thank
you. 40-40, and then Spinderella can have 20%. That's how that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
but there's
how
a different
goes.
Argument if she actually wrote the songs
that's true,
too,
yeah.
and
that's
she
true.
Made the beats
she
too.
On there? I don't think she's on there.
I don't think so. Maybe
she
we have to look
claims,
that up.
She claims that she was like wrongfully misrepresented because she did have like more part of like the group and the songs and the writing than they ever like gave her credit for and paid her for.
But is it kind of like how Greg thinks he's like created Mason in Ireland? Is it kind of like that?
Greg thinks he created
Mason. He's a Spinderella
Mason
Ireland. Mason
Ireland. Is right? he really? Wow, I didn't know that.
Is it kind of
Greg's the Spinderella?
He's the Spinderella.
Shot.
He's not here.
But such a shot.
Also, like I make fun of Greg now. That's my thing. Okay. Like, remember when I was at the when I was announcing the softball game?
Yeah. Greg alone.
It's so fun to make Greg's fun of Greg.
Cool.
It's kind of like when somebody thinks they're more important than they are. Like,
yeah.
Maybe she wasn't that important. Maybe she was just like the DJ. And we can get another DJ. What's the wins above replacement for another DJ?
That's what
or
it sounds like.
Maybe she was.
Or maybe she was.
Yeah. See.
Guess we'll find out when that book comes out.
Yeah.
I'm buying it.
I don't know if you will. We'll just
read it. I'm buying it. I want to
hear
all the
aggregation.
Dirt.
There'll be stories written about it. You don't need to buy it. speaking of which, you know who's 81 today?
Who's 81 today?
Martha Stewart.
No way. Martha's 81?
She's just been old for a while. Like, just some old. She could be 73 or 85, and I believe you.
She's 81.
She's 81.
Wow.
81.
No way.
And I've been in like I've been on maternity leave for the past 8 weeks, so this is very weird for me to come back because, like, I put on pants today. I put on a little makeup. Like that was a big deal. I put on some makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
I brushed my hair.
Oh, nice.
These are big things when you're like a new mom.
Washed your hair.
Yeah, I washed my hair. I brushed it too.
Wow, that's work.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been doing like domestic things. Like my birthday was a couple weeks ago and my husband said, "What do you want?" I said, "I would like a gift certificate to Green Thumb Nursery so I can go buy some more flowers."
Wow.
Like I go outside and I look about where am I going to put my new fig tree?
You are really good with flowers.
Yeah. I mean,
remember the little flower you gave at your baby shower?
Yeah.
I'm not a Green Thumb person because it died.
Aww.
Oh, you killed the succulent? It wasn't even a flower. It's a succulent.
Yeah. Like, that's so sad. I killed the succulent.
I mean, that's like drought resistant. Like, you have to really
drought
you have
resistant.
To try to kill that.
Wow.
I didn't try to kill it. I was like, oh, it needs sun. And I put it in my little
Did you ever water it?
And I think I watered it, like, once.
Oh, well, there you go. Well,
yeah.
And I was like, I
can't. I mean, you could literally water it, like, once a week and you wouldn't kill it.
Yeah,
you suck.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I did.
Wow. So Martha Stewart's 81.
Did not know that. Yeah.
I've been in, like, this home place, you know? Like, I've just been home a lot. And, like, all I do is think about things that I'm going to do at my house. So it got me thinking about these like artsy craftsy things and all the things we did when we were all home for the pandemic. Remember when COVID first hit, everybody bought a bread maker?
Oh yeah. Or I'd made banana bread.
Did
nonstop.
Now, what were your like? What were your like pandemic things that you did that you haven't? That you just like? That was another lifetime ago.
Banana bread.
Banana bread.
Yeah, that's all it was. Bread. Need to make zucchini bread or
no,
any other kind of bread.
Just bananas. Just banana bread. Yeah.
I love to paint like acrylic paint and like So I used to do in like oil pastels because I couldn't before. I was always so busy. So during the pandemic, I was like, I'm going to take that again.
Nice.
So you were a painter.
I like, well, I mean, you know, painter adjacent, you know, I just tried. It's like I tried and I love paint. Like you're a Cancer. You're a crafty like homebody. Right. So I'm a Cancer too. And I get like little sparks of that. And then I'm like, okay, I'm over it. Like the painting, the trying to refurbish stuff. Like I'm done.
Cancer is homebody?
Cancer's a homebody.
Cancer's homebody.
The astrology
sturdy
sign.
Sturdy homebody. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because it's the crab, like the shell is supposed to be like we value our boundaries and our home and our the shell is our home. And blah, blah.
Well, everyone was a homebody during the pandemic.
Yeah,
right?
No doubt. Yep. I had to put the bouncy house in the house.
Yeah, me too.
For the kid. Yeah.
Because it was rainy.
That was fun.
The whole bouncy house?
The whole bouncy house.
I still have a swing set in my bedroom.
In the bedroom?
Yeah. That sounds kinky, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that. That was like, that's not how I meant it. The Wonder Baby number two came. Okay, mama.
I just didn't realize how that sounded. I was like, whoa, hey, careful there. Careful there.
Let's talk about
swing set and handcuffs.
Did they Spinderella here?
No, he added the handcuffs over there.
Handcuffs.
I'm talking Fisher Price.
I got you. With the crank, right?
All right.
No, wait. What
or
about
my one-year-old?
Did you say you had a Martha Stewart story?
Yeah.
What
you know when Martha Stewart got out of jail? So there was all this. Martha Stewart went to jail.
She went to jail, right?
You forgot how she went to jail.
There was the other one that got in trouble for running her mouth?
I don't know.
Paula Deen.
No, yeah.
That's the one. Okay, that's the one.
Martha Stewart was in prison.
She was in real prison for insider trading.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes,
yes. Like real prison, not just super white collar.
Like she went inside all day.
She went inside.
Yeah.
And when she got out, like there was still this, she was kind of like, that was like, there's being canceled because that's like public opinion and you said something bad or whatever. She said bad things too. But when she got out, it was like, oh, she really did time.
Yeah.
And some time passed. And then I think there was a sort of, enough time had passed and people felt bad that she actually went to prison. And then she started having a renaissance. And guys like Snoop Dogg went and saw her. We have that, right?
What a relationship.
Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
So, mashed potatoes, we're back again.
Uh-huh.
The potatoes have been boiled.
Here, I've never done it with a machine.
Yeah, well, it's easy. So, how do you do it?
Yeah, we in the hood. We like, yeah.
So just peel the potatoes. You can peel that one with your fingers or a knife.
Like peel it back?
No, this one. This one needs to be peeled. See?
Like this?
Just take the peels off. Peel.
Like making
the
french
skin.
Fries.
The skin.
We make french fries. That skin ain't good.
No, that's the skin. Just the skin. Look, this. You just peel the skin off.
Oh,
see?
You want me to take the skins in off of it?
The skins in.
Oh,
there
it is. Potato chip wrapping.
Okay. So you have your own vocabulary. Now, you are really responsible for your vocabulary, right? You are the inventor of it.
Yeah, so much.
Okay. And does everybody understand you? I mean, do your kids understand you?
Wow.
I mean,
the skins in. She didn't mean skin. She meant skizzin.
Yeah. I mean, like, name me two people that you would rather see a segment with, Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg.
I could see 24 hours of that.
That sounds like TV gold.
Yes, that's good stuff. Yes.
Laura's thinking.
That is great stuff. Wow.
I feel like you could not have two polar opposites.
Yeah.
At all. Yes.
Than Martha Stewart. And they're still, like, friends. And I was reading, when I was reading about today being her birthday, that like Snoop says every time he goes to parties, like people ask him all the time, like, how's Martha? Like, how's Martha Stewart? It's like who they ask him about the most.
I mean, she's got some street cred now. She went to real jail.
Yeah. Do you think Martha like takes edibles? No.
I bet she does.
Yeah. Hangs out with Snoop.
I
you got
she
to,
does.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, she's just home cooking all the time.
Right.
Probably super munchy.
Makes up That's some brownies.
What else she got
some
to
brownies,
do?
Right? Yeah. She makes some brownies.
Ooh. No wonder she makes a lot.
There you go. That's it right there.
Right. We needed a little levity today.
Nice.
All right. When we come back, my friend Bill Plaschke is going to join us. Bill Plaschke from the LA Times, who knew Vin Scully better than most. Coming up next, ESPN LA, Ramona Shelburne, DeMarco Farr, in for Savannah and Cap.